So where did we leave the story some 2 months ago? Where did we leave the Buddha some 2 months ago? We left the Buddha sitting at the foot of the Bodhi tree, sitting cross-legged, sitting on a heap of grass with half-closed eyes and enjoying what the texts call the bliss of emancipation. The Buddha had just been born. In other words, the new man had just been born. Sitting there, he'd fulfilled at long last, after many years of effort and struggle, the whole course of the higher evolution of the individual. He'd overcome the forces of Mara. He defeated them, and he was now free from them. He was now the victor, the conqueror. He'd dissolved all mental defilements, resolved all psychological conditionings. He'd seen the truth. He'd seen reality. He'd not just had a glimpse of it. He now saw it steadily, saw it all the time, didn't even see it just as something in front of him, something like an object there, but he'd fully absorbed it, assimilated it, become one with it, so that he now, having become enlightened, was an embodiment of the truth, an embodiment of reality, the truth, reality, if you like, in human form, sitting there beneath the Bodhi tree, absolutely free, absolutely happy, with nothing further now to accomplish or to attain. So that's where we left the story 2 months ago. So the question arises now, what happens next? The Buddha has gained enlightenment. There he is, sitting underneath the Bodhi tree. So we may say that humanity now has a Buddha on its hands. And as we all know, enlightenment is unemployable. So what does humanity now do with the Buddha? Or what does he do with himself? At this point, now that the Buddha's gained enlightenment, now that he's sitting there under the Bodhi tree, we can only say that something very mysterious happens. We might have thought that it was the end. The Buddha's gained enlightenment, full stop. But from another point of view, it's only the beginning. Because in a very mysterious way, a way that we can't perhaps hope to understand, enlightenment starts, if you like, through the Buddha, communicating itself. Perhaps, we don't know, but we can, as it were, hazard the guess, perhaps it's of the very nature of enlightenment to communicate itself, if it gets a chance. So the enlightened one, the Buddha, starts communicating with other living beings. In other words, the new man speaks. But to whom does he speak? First of all, he just speaks, or if you like, he speaks to himself. Next, he speaks to the gods. And finally, last, but we hope not least, he speaks to men. So let us continue to follow the story. Let us hear what the new man has to say. First of all, the new man just speaks, or speaks to himself. So what does he say? In different parts of the Buddhist scriptures, existing in different recensions and different languages, there are a number of different accounts of the first utterance. But we may say that they are substantially the same. And here, we're going to follow the Pali account, or rather the oldest Pali account, which is probably the oldest account of all. And according to this account, the Buddha, the new man, expressed himself, spoke, not in prose, but in poetry, or at least in verse. He spoke two verses. And I'm going to read these two verses in two different translations. First of all, in a prose translation, which will give us the more or less exact meaning, Buddhadatta's translation, and then I'm going to read a verse translation, that of Sir Edwin Arnold, which will give us, I'm sure, a better impression of the spirit. The Buddha's first words, the new man's first words, after enlightenment. These verses are found, incidentally, not only in this particular account, but also in the Dhammapada, chapter 11. So the new man says, in verse, "Many a birth have I traversed in this round of lives and deaths, vainly seeking the builder of this house. Sorrowful is repeated birth. O house builder, you are seen. Never again shall you build the house. All your rafters are broken. Your ridgepole is shattered. My mind has gone to dissolution. I have attained the end of craving." Or, in Sir Edwin Arnold's much more vigorous version, "Many a house of life hath held me, seeking ever him who wrought this prison of the senses, sorrow fraught. Sore was my ceaseless strife. But now, thou builder of the tabernacle, thou, I know thee. Never shalt thou build again these walls of pain, nor raise the roof tree of deceit, nor lay fresh rafters on the clay. Broken the rafters, and the ridgepole split. Delusion fashioned it. Safe pass I thence, deliverance to attain." Now these two verses in Pali constitute what is technically known as an udana. The word udana in Pali means an exhalation, a breathing out, if you like, a breathing forcibly out. It also means that which is breathed out, forcibly breathed out. That which is spoken under intense inner pressure, especially emotional pressure, something that just bursts out, as it were, breaks out, as it were. And such utterances, such udanas, are always in metrical form. Usually, translators from the Pali render this word udana as solemn utterance, but this is very inadequate, very weak indeed. In the Pali canon, incidentally, in the Pali Tipitaka, there's a whole book of these udanas, these so-called solemn utterances, together with prose accounts of the circumstances in which they originated. But in this particular case, in the case of this particular udana, these two verses which the Buddha breathed forth, or which burst forth from him, almost immediately after the enlightenment, what the Buddha is in effect saying, what the new man is in effect saying is, "I'm free." Or if you like more colloquially, "I've made it." This is the sort of exclamation that bursts forth, that breaks forth at that moment. And we can well understand what a tremendous moment that must have been for the Buddha. There he was sitting under the Bodhi tree, and it was all done. It was all over. His 6-year-long weary quest was complete. He'd won through. He'd broken through. He'd realized the truth. He'd seen reality. He had become the Buddha. And then he looked back over his whole previous history, according to the text, according to the tradition, not just the history of this life, but back into the past, over hundreds and thousands of lives. And he saw where, all the time, he'd been going wrong. He saw just where the mistake lay, just where the delusion lay. He put his finger right on that spot, and he said, as it were, it was there. That's where I've gone wrong. That's where I went wrong all those years. But now I see it. Now I see through it, and I don't go wrong anymore. Now I'm free. Now I'm liberated. Now I'm a new man. So looking back in this way, seeing in this way, realizing in this way, it's not surprising that in the Buddha at that moment there was a tremendous upsurge of energy, a tremendous upsurge of emotion. And out of this emotion he gave utterance to the verses which have just been quoted. So the new man speaks, just speaks, or if you like, speaks to himself. And next, the new man speaks to the gods. Or rather, he speaks to Brahma Sahampati, which means Brahma, the Lord of 1,000 worlds. A sort of Hindu god the father figure who sometimes makes a modest appearance in Buddhist texts. So what does the Buddha, what does the new man say to Brahma Sahampati, Lord of 1,000 worlds? He utters another verse. It's rather interesting to observe that the Buddha doesn't start speaking prose until some time after the Enlightenment. For several weeks, apparently, he goes on speaking poetry, and only descends to prose when he's really sort of come down to earth, as it were, so far, of course, as the Buddha can come down to earth. But poetry comes first, prose comes afterwards. So what does he say to Brahma Sahampati? What is the verse that he speaks now? He says, and I wish I could reproduce something of the rhythm of the original, because they're very powerful, pulsating verses in Pali. He says, open to them are the doors of the immortal, O Brahma. Let them that have ears release their faith. Perceiving the vexation, I uttered not the doctrine, eminent and excellent among men, O Brahma.